thank you for tuning in to the last episode of Jade and Gerald's The Story of the Seven Seas. You can re-listen to previous episodes along with future interviews and stories on Podbean, Spotify, Apple Music, and iHeartRadio.
Part 3 by Jade and Gerald's. Aside from the fact that the docks were currently smoking heaps, the occupants aboard the Brigantine arrived at Integrity Harbor with little trouble. Walker and Archer moored the vessel slightly offshore to avoid the hull scraping against hazardous debris in the shallow water. They then helped Melody into a jolly boat. She was holding her coat in her hands and refused to let anyone else touch it. "Why don't you just put it on?" asked Walker. "I only put it on when I'm going in the water," she said. "With it on, I look more animal than human." "You mean you look like a seal? Like with flippers and like blubber?" Melody's face reddened at Walker's comment. "Prince, your jest makes even me wince," chimed Archer. The trio lapped into silence as Walker and Archer propelled the boat through the choppy waves. "What's with the rhymes?" asked Walker. "Ordinary prose is something everybody knows, but a lyrical style makes every word worthwhile." "Even if it's annoying?" muttered Walker. Archer opened his mouth, but Melody asked her own question. "Then why do you randomly speak normally?" "Fools are more abundant than jewels," Archer cast a pointed look at Walker, who was captivated by his own uneven bootlaces. His head snapped up when Melody laughed. His brows creased when he tried to find the source of amusement, but could not. Melody merely patted his shoulder and Archer flashed a winning smile. The trio ran into the prince's home, avoiding a parrot who had tried to pluck the necklace from Walker's hands. Walker slammed the door in the parrot's face, resulting in a small thump being heard on the other side of the entrance. "That parrot didn't even look like one of the captains," exclaimed Melody, who tried to open the door before Walker stopped her. It was true, this parrot was pure white with onyx eyes and an ebony beak. It was completely different from the vibrant hues of the earlier birds. The bird looked ancient, but it was not Walker's problem. "Call it cowardice, call it cruel, call it evading potential conflicts, but I am done with birds." Melody couldn't argue with this statement and continued into the dining room, where Archer already was. "What now?" Archer said. He, Melody, and Walker stood around the prince's dining room table where the boat and necklace sat, mocking the humans with inanimate glares. "We need a tear of the sea, the blood of a king, and the song of the wind," restated Melody. The group continued staring at the objects. Archer and Melody looked to Walker, who supposedly had a brilliant idea. Walker clapped his hands together and began pacing across the room. "Are we sure we want to destroy them? We may need the bow and the necklace," asked Walker. "I mean, I refuse to be powerless against the captain again if he ever comes back." "Walker, first you refuse to find the objects, and now you refuse to destroy them," said Melody, her expression unamused. "Make up your mind." "Fine, fine, fine. The tear of the sea cried." He muttered a phrase at every sharp turn in his path. "What would make the sea cry?" "Crankson?" offered Archer. He prodded the bow with his finger. "Too soon," said Walker. "Maybe we're thinking too literally. The sea can't cry, and parents can't carry a grown man like a coach car," sighed Melody. "But here we are." "I need a break," said Archer. He sat in one of the dining table chairs and pulled a deck of cards from a concealed pocket in his shirt. His nimble fingers shuffled the cards, allowing card after card to stack on top of the other before wrapping the deck against the wooden table to orient the edges again. He repeated the process and dealt himself a game of solitaire. Walker watched as he rearranged the cards in the order that best suited his needs instead of actually playing the game. "What's the point of playing if you're just going to cheat?" asked Melody. "Everyone involves a cheat. Why do you think some people are impossible to beat?" Walker snapped his fingers. "That's it," he grinned. "We have to cheat." Walker strode to Melody. "You have to cry." Her confused expression conveyed her lack of understanding. "The tear of the sea. Well, weren't Selkies created from the sea, from the same magic that Raconum used?" She nodded her head. "Give or take a few important details." "So then if you cry, it's a tear from the sea." Archer piped in with his own cryptic agreements to Walker's theory, and soon Melody was handed an onion and a knife. "I'm pretty sure this isn't what the instructions meant," she said as she began slicing the bulb. Walker rubbed his eyes. "Think smarter, not harder." "While we wait for the madam to cry, what about you and I?" Archer pointed between himself and Walker. "The blood of a king and the darling sound of wind upon a wing." "These are getting sad," said Walker. "But I think I know what the song of the wind is supposed to be. My curiosity isn't abating, so don't keep me waiting." "Your last name is Vaines, right?" Archer nodded, gesturing for Walker to continue. "Isn't a song just a lyrical phrase? Aren't weather vanes used to show the direction of the breeze? By this definition, therefore, displaying the song of the wind." Melody sniffled. "There are so many logical fallacies in your reasoning." Walker flourished his hands. "Then let's hope magical objects don't receive proper education." He glanced between the other two people at the table and said, "I say we go for it." "While work your theory may, how does the blood of the king?" Archer paused, fumbling over his words. "What?" Melody threw a piece of onion at him. Great question. The captain, Renshaw King, is the rumored distant heir to Benedictine King, who is the third cousin twice removed to Dominic King, who's the nephew of King Lucius. As a young man, he graciously released any potential claim on the throne, instead choosing to pursue a more lucrative position of king of pirates. I thought you were all privateers, said Melody. Close enough. But aside from his royal status, he does have royal blood. This helps us because during our scuffle with the captain, he received a minor cut. But the important part is that a droplet of his blood landed on my shirt. In emphasis, Walker showed the hem of his shirt, which was stained with a small blotch of dark red. You're telling me that the captain, who only wanted to obtain the objects, is going to help us destroy them? Asked Melody. Talk about an unlikely savior. Tears had finally started to fall down her face, but she didn't wipe them away. We solved the clues, now what do we do? Asked Archer. Walker gathered everyone around the table, placing Melody closest to the necklace and bow, with Archer at her side. He picked up the two items and wrapped them in the strip of fabric that he had torn from his shirt's hem. Melody, drop a tear onto the fabric as Archer finishes speaking. We can do this, people. On three. Walker drummed his knuckles against the tabletop. One, objects of the sea, began Archer. Two, Melody sniffled, with the powers of deductive mediocrity. Three, I destroy thee, Archer finished. A glistening tear soaked into the fabric scrap. Nothing happened. Melody hung her head, wiping her eyes. Walker stared at the table, where the bow and necklace sat in perfect condition. Archer reached out and grasped the necklace and bow. No, creative solutions and nothing to show? His knuckles were white against the items. Walker wondered if Archer could snap the objects in half. His grip seemed strong enough. The necklace started unraveling. Its intricate knots turned into a stringy mess in Archer's hand. The bow began to rot, swiftly turning from a beautiful weapon to ash. The easiest way is the best way, muttered Melody. Later that day, the trio went down to the destroyed docks. They sat on a charred but solid piece of wood and watched the sun. It's crazy how much we've been through, said Melody, and so quickly. We embarked on a voyage, failed to return on the same ship, found and destroyed the most powerful objects in the sea, and made friends out of foes, said Walker, casting a look at Archer, who was staring into the horizon. It sounds too simple when you put it like that, even though, you know, we couldn't save Crankston. Walker put his arm around Melody. If he were here, he complained that the dock should already be rebuilt. What kind of workers are employed anyway? Melody laughed. I don't like this, remarked Archer. Walker clapped him on the back. With the captain and the Ned of Raconum gone, I guess I can return to being the harbor master again. Walker chuckled too. I think I prefer ordinary to voyages. Melody didn't reply to either one. Instead, she gazed at the sea, watching the waves. Eventually, she did respond. So no more going on dangerous trips just because someone shows you a map. I believe that was you. Selkies do what they want, unless their coat is being held captive by a wicked sea captain. How did he get your coat anyway? Asked Walker. I had it hidden aboard our boat, but I imagine he had a bird seal it while we were distracted by the explosion he set at the docks. The captain did this? Exclaimed Walker, gesturing to the destruction around him. Why? I don't know for sure it was him, but he probably knew you'd be reluctant to go on the trip, so he motivated you by making it near impossible to return home. I also believe that he blew up our ship swiftly to get rid of our crew. Walker nodded in agreement. Life meant little to the captain, and from Walker's brief experience with his crew, they weren't the most pleasant people in the world. The next day, Archer rowed back to his brigantine on the jolly boat. Walker watched him board his vessel as two small spots appeared, coasting towards Archer's boat. A parrot and a pelican greeted Archer at the helm. Walker couldn't hear the squawks, but he smiled knowing that Guano and Albert had returned. Walker secretly cherished the fact that Albert had stayed with Guano, but Walker was still holding firm on his dislike of birds. Archer and Walker hadn't said goodbyes, but Archer had said, I'll send merchants your way, it seems you'll need the pay. Archer had cast one last look over the ruined docks and went on his way. Walker had a feeling that Archer's merchants wouldn't be honest businessmen, but a couple more creative entrepreneurs couldn't hurt. Unless they possessed a fabled map, or if they learned of new legends and wanted help in seeking the treasures out from the man who destroyed the Ned Arconum. Walker suddenly became uneasy about future business deals. He didn't have time to dwell, because Melody walked up behind him, handing him a hammer, nails, and a small board of wood. The docks have to be rebuilt by someone, she said. Might as well be us, as long as I'm free to do it. Walker chuckled. Mind-controlling magical objects kill my desire to work. Thankfully, we turned them into scraps. Now focus. Walker looked out at the sea once again, seeing Archer's brigantine sail away. Walker's journey was over, and with a content sigh, he placed the board and secured it with his hammer. I wonder if I'll be a hero, he thought. Maybe we'll inspire our own legend. A parrot and pelican flew in circles around a shrinking ship in the distance, and a harbor master and a selkie focused on rebuilding their home.
you for listening to this episode of the Lumpkin County High School's Principals Podcast. You can look for our channel on Podbean, Google Podcasts, and so much more. Thank you for being a part of our tribe.
Our tribe, our stories.